This represents a lot of hours of time to pull together one's testimony and also a lot of courage to get up in front of all of us and to share. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'd like to just start off with a small prayer. And the prayer is that, dear God, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come in front and to share my testimony to people that I love and a group that I love. So, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I can feel it already.
Hi, my name is Bob. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with alcohol, depression, anger, 3 attempted suicides, and suicidal thoughts. I had a normal childhood. My dad was a career Navy man, so we traveled all over the United States. My mother was in charge while my dad was away, which was about 6 months out of the year. We were raised to take care of ourselves and to be respectful. I did, however, have one problem. Sisters. You see, I had 3 of them. When my mother was pregnant with child number 5, I was sure it was another sister, and so I decided to run away. So I packed up all my belongings and began walking. Since we lived on a military base, the MPs picked me up and asked me, "Where are you going?" I told them about the impending birth of my sister, number 4, and that they did not like boys at my house. So I was going to live with my grandparents in Massachusetts. Well, this was all they needed to hear. They called my parents and told them to come and get me. You see, we lived in Long Beach, California. And I was not going to walk to Massachusetts. Well, my mother gave birth to my baby brother, Sean. When my brother was brought home from the hospital, I apparently would sleep in the room with him because I did not want him to leave me alone with my sisters. You see, I just didn't want anything to happen to him, and I wanted a brother. To this day, I have a special place in my heart for my brother. I love my sisters, but Sean, he broke the pattern. I have another story about me as a little boy. Before my 2 younger sisters and my brother were born, my older sister, Pat, and I ran away from home. And I don't recall what was the reason we ran home for, but I guess it was like we had to clean our rooms or something else my mother wanted us to do. We packed up and left our house. We began walking, but soon were stopped by the MPs, different military base, and asked where we were going. We told them that we were running away, but we were not allowed to cross the street. So we just kept running around the block. My mother loved to tell these stories to anyone who would listen. She was always fair and ran her own tight ship. When my dad was home, she would give him a list of our misfortunes, and we would have to deal with them all over again with his belt. Back then, that was not unusual, and it worked real well. One other thing I remember as a teenager, when I was at the age of 13, was something that until recently I did not remember. It was a secret that only my parents and I know. It was so long ago that I buried it, and when I heard something recently in a sermon, it came to mind. Then again, I heard another similar story in a CR lesson. When I was about 13, I was babysitting for a young friend for some friends of my parents. Soon after the evening, I babysat the oldest girl, who was about 4, and said that I had molested her and her baby sister. Upon hearing this, the father of the girls came at me with a big knife, and police were involved at that point. After an investigation and examination by the doctors, it was discovered that I had not been involved at all. It was another babysitter that had harmed the girls and that I was not at fault. This was a very difficult and disturbing time, and it had made me continue to be wary of being alone with children. While I know that I have never done anything to anyone. The trauma of being accused and having to be questioned about such a horrible crime has made me feel fearful. Even now, sharing this is a difficult, but it's part of what has formed my reasons of dealing with life situations. Even though I did not recall the basis for my fear, I still acted on it. When my dad retired, we moved back to Massachusetts so that we could be close to our grandparents. When we moved back to the area, we settled in Dorchester. At first, but found that it was not quite the same as my dad grew up there. So we moved again and settled in Everett, Mass. I worked hard at school and after school. I would always have a part-time job. There was not much time for socializing, and that was just fine for me. After graduating from Everett High School, I decided to join the Army. This is where my troubles began. You see, I never tasted alcohol until the Army, and boy, the beers and the hard liquors tasted real good. During my first year of enlistment, I was arrested for DWI in Tombstone, Arizona. And to make matters worse, I had to face both the civilian and military justice system. My punishment was one day in jail, and I washed the town's emergency vehicles. A far cry from what would be happening today. On a side note, my youngest son was arrested for a DWI when he was in college, and it was over $6,000 in court costs and fees. Plus, he had to participate in a class before being cleared. Okay, back to my story. I'd have to say, though, they fed me well. I had a steak and baked bean lunch. I never saw a steak so big in my life, and it was thick. I had to attend local AA meetings and pay a fine of $311. This was in 1979. During my remaining enlistment, I did not drink and drive, but I kept drinking. After 6 years of my enlistment ended, I was back in Everett, Mass. I began the journey of becoming a civilian again, finding a job and planning my next phase of life. I wanted to get married and to have children, so that was the next thing I wanted to enlist in. My wife and I grew up on the same block. Our families were friends from the time we moved to Everett. We had similar sized families, and we were all friends. However, although we were all friends, there were times when my older sister, who was friends with my ex-wife, would smoke pot in the backyard. And I am sure that she didn't like me much because I would tell on them. So you see, at first I did not like her, but when we were now adults, I had asked her out and we dated for about a year, which I asked her for my hand in, I mean her hand, not mine. and we were married. Very, very soon after we were married, I realized that we had very different ideas about marriage and life in general. She liked the party and thought that I should work 3 jobs like her father to support her lifestyle. I had no intentions of working 3 jobs, and this caused a lot of arguments in our very first year. Another thing happened that year. Our first child was born, and we actually brought him home from the hospital on our first wedding anniversary. So on top of an already fragile marriage, we now had a child, and he was colic. He went from colicky to teething to the terrible twos, and we were overwhelmed. Now, I still had a problem with alcohol. Plus, I had a wife who thought I was a failure as a husband and a child who was upset most of the time. As you can see, things were not getting any better. We continued to try and work out our marriage, but honestly, it was not working. I had thought that I married for love, but as things piled on, we continued to grow further apart, and I realized that we were strangers. We had another son, and so the pressure was were continuing. My second son did not have the same start as my first son, but it was still difficult on me and my wife.
Excuse me.
We both worked. I worked days and she worked nights. Not exactly the best situation for a married couple, but it was probably why our marriage lasted as long as it did. We simply did not spend time together. And I spent time with my alcohol and she was partying with her friends. Again, this was just another way it worked out for us. During this time, I attempted suicide. The first of three. My wife thought I was a failure, and after hearing it so many times, it seemed that I should just remove myself for the good of everyone. However, I even failed at trying to commit suicide, and so this even made the situation worse. I sought help from three doctors and was diagnosed with severe depression. However, my wife saw this as an attempt to get attention and only fuel her anger even more. On top of that, I found that it was very hard to go to God with my problem because I felt that I even failed him as well. So, where was God in all of this plan? What did I believe? I grew up knowing God, the Catholic version, and went to church only on special occasions. I did this until my teenage years. I went back to Catholic church services when I was getting married and to bring our sons to the preschool that the church offered. When the kids were school age, we stopped going to the church. However, my mother-in-law invited me to her church, which was an Assembly of God Pentecostal church. My mother-in-law thought that the church would do me some good, and she was right. At that point, I was willing to do anything I could to save my marriage and to do things differently in my life. I began to attend church regularly without my wife. She was a non-believer. And I brought my two sons up through the church, and they know God. Unfortunately, this did not make me stop drinking. My drinking got to the point that I would have alcohol on my breath while attending church. And this was still this would continue for almost 17 years. There were lots of different things going in my life during that time. Some were good and some were not so good. The good. I accepted the Lord my Savior in 1992 and then was baptized in water 1 year later. For this I am grateful, since it gave me the strength to continue to work on other areas of my life. The not so good. During this time, I tried to work on my marriage and was willing to go to counseling and to see if we could fix our broken relationship. However, I soon found out that there was already someone else in my wife's life, and she did not want to work on our marriage. She had already moved on. So my wife and I divorced. We did this so amicably for the welfare of our sons. This was perhaps one of the most important decisions that I made, to keep my sons a priority despite my problems. They were then and still are the best part of my history. I am blessed to have them and to know that they are happy and successful young men. One is a doctor of physical therapy, and the other is a school teacher. A lot of that is due to my ex-wife and I working together to show our sons that we love them. Even though we did not love each other as husband and wife, we loved them. There were so many different painful issues in my life, and alcohol was the way that I chose to escape. I was drinking more and more. Even after my divorce, I continued to go to church and for a time even looked into going to another church so that I would not embarrass my mother-in-law. However, I believe God wanted me to be at that church and drew me back there. The alcohol had control of me. I never thought that I had a problem until one day my youngest son called me while he was in college. And I must have said something to him that hurt him while I was drunk. To this day, I do not know the exact nature of what I had said, but the word passed through the family grapevine and back to me about what I said. I then tried to stop drinking on my own. But when I encountered a problem, the bottle was there to comfort me through the hurt. And there was still a lot of hurt in my life. That is when I decided to seek help. I spoke to the pastor from the church I was attending. He counseled me for a year and gave me a list of things that I needed to do. I took that list and completed the task, from changing my friends and social habits to participating in church volunteering. Counseling did help me see the wrongs that I had committed, but unfortunately, it did not stop me from drinking. I even told the pastor that I would attend church with alcohol in my breath, and to my amazement, he told me that I was not the only one who does, but that I was the only one who had admitted to doing so. Along with the drinking, my depression deepened and it increased my anger. I was mad all the time, and it did not take much for me to lose my temper. I had moved into my parents' house after my divorce, and they were getting tired of my behavior. My job was in jeopardy as well, so many things were spiraling out of control. As I was powerless to do anything differently, my father finally gave me an ultimatum that I had to stop drinking and get help or I had to move out. That threat made me stop and think. I could lose my family along with all the things I had already lost to my drinking problem. I sought medical help again, and I saw a psychotherapist and a psychoanalyst. It helped me, and my demeanor did change. However, I still did not stop drinking entirely. I stopped going to a local veterans club that I would go on the weekends, where I would start drinking at 7 a.m. in the morning, and about $50 later would drive home, and I stopped socializing with the people I drank with. I chose to drink less, but in the privacy of my own room. I didn't drink as often, but I still had my habit. Adding to my habit was also loneliness. I was still living in my parents' house and going to work, but there was not much else to keep my mind off of my problem. My sons were now graduated from college, and I no longer had their school and sporting events to take up my time. I decided it was time for me to work on my social activities and to try again at a relationship with a woman. This time, I knew that the most important characteristic in a relationship is the one with my Lord and Savior, and that I meet someone who has the same relationship. So I posted my picture and my profile on ChristianMingle.com. I was on the site for 4 months and was in a prayer chat room praying and talking with a couple of women when this lady kept interrupting us by messaging me. It was Lori, my wife. We talked on the phone and found out that we had things in common, and so we decided to meet 1 week later. We met at the Wayside Inn for lunch. Lunch turned into dinner, and we enjoyed sharing things about our lives, and I told her about my struggles. She told me that she was very touched by my honesty. We agreed to see each other again. On our second date went well, and by the next weekend, she was meeting my parents, and most importantly, we went to my church together. Excuse me. We enjoyed talking to each other and learning about each other's histories. I found myself falling in love with her, and I asked her to marry me about 6 weeks after we met. She agreed to marry me, and we began planning our lives together. You might wonder, why would I want to get married again when my first marriage was so difficult? I felt that I had grown and that I was a new man who wanted to be a good husband. I sought the Lord and dedicated myself to Him and to making my marriage relationship a priority. And of course, there really was love this time. We were both involved with volunteering at our churches and found that we both had a servant's heart and that we enjoyed serving together. This was so different from my past experience involving God in the relationship. We served together at both churches and we were quite busy growing together and learning how to make a marriage that would glorify God. We were married in March 2012 and settled in Hudson, and I became a member of Crossroads Community Church soon after. I was introduced to the Celebrate Recovery program at Crossroads Community Church and was invited by Pastor Vinny. I began attending the Monday night meetings, but most of the time I would only stay for the lesson or testimony and did not stay for the open share groups. First of all, I had been involved with a 12-step program before, and I didn't think it helped. However, it was not CR, and it did not involve Jesus Christ, the true higher power. Plus, I thought that I had done with my past habits. I wasn't drinking except for very special occasions. And I was not getting drunk, that was for sure. So my problem was in the past, or so I thought. I would like to read to you a Bible verse about addiction. It's Mark 9:43-47. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have the feet and go thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Mark 9:43-47. It was time to cut off the things that was causing me to sin. There was a step group starting, and I decided to attend that step group. We began the study with 7 men. Those men were my accountability partners, support group, and most of all, my friends. They worked on their struggles along with me. I found some of the questions were hard and even thought that I didn't need the step group because my problems were all in the past. But when I shared those feelings with my step group brothers, they listened and then they asked me to stay. And I am so glad that I did. I realized that I did still have things I needed to work on and that I needed to continue in my recovery to be the use of God. God never wastes a hurt, and he had worked for me to do through my recovery. I completed the step group and had many happy to say that all seven men stayed and completed it as well. We learned from each other. The four guidebooks were a door to reality. But guidebook number two, the title is Taking an Honest and Spiritual Inventory, was the hardest for me. I had to reveal things to God, to myself, and to my step group brothers of all the wrongs I had done. And of course, the guidebook was there to show us how to write the inventory list, and how to make it happen on paper and on one-on-one with our accountability partner or sponsor. As principle four states, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Step four states, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Some of you may say, what is so hard about making a list? All I can say is that to do this list, you must be honest with yourself and be ready for the uplifting of your spirit or the consequences you may see. When I completed my step group, I knew that the Lord wanted me to live out Principle 8, yield myself to God and to be used to bring the good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Okay, skip the page. When I approached our pastor about my desires, he asked me if I was still drinking. I told him I would occasionally have a drink, but that was not a problem for me any longer. He told me that in order for me to lead with the program, I had to be sober, and that meant not even an occasional drink. After meeting with the pastor and seeking the Lord, I have stopped drinking, and I have to show you this, but I've been 145 days alcohol-free. God has brought me a long way from my drinking. If it wasn't for God intervening, I would probably be 6 feet under. I still struggle with anger, but not with alcohol, depression, or suicidal thoughts, even though they will be my concern for the rest of my life. I have learned through this Celebrate Recovery program ways to deal with my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Recently, I found myself in a way too similar scenario. I was driving home from work and was cut off in traffic by a motorcyclist. He nearly caused me to hit him, and it would have not been my fault. He was being reckless. I laid on my horn to make him aware of my presence. At the next traffic light, the motorcyclist got off his bike and came to my window and began yelling at me and threatening me with bodily harm. In the past, I would have gotten out of the car, and it would have not been good. I would have let my anger take over, and I would have been hurt. Instead, I chose to stay calm at that moment. But later, But later I pulled over and prayed for peace for myself and for the crazy driver. That is the power of God and the program working together. I continue to have anger issues, but they are fewer and fewer. Now that I have been attending Celebrate Recovery for close to 2 years, I have been involved with the men's open share group. I set up the large open share room, and I get the Crosstalk Cafe ready. And I am willing to share with others the hope that I now have in my struggles. My life verse is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. The new me. I no longer drink because of God, my Christian faith, and the people who surround me, both Christian and non-Christian. These are people who believe in me. I am able to speak more freely about my struggles to anyone who wants to listen. There are three people who have touched my life because of Celebrate Recovery. Lori, Pastor Vinny, and Bob Garman, OB. Lori brought me to Crossroads Community Church. Pastor Vinny invited me to Celebrate Recovery, and Bob G. and I became good friends. Plus, we all have a personal relationship, God and the CR program. But I would be wrong in not mentioning all those who attend CR for encouraging me and keeping me accountable. So thank you. I am grateful to be able to share with you and to encourage you to seek the Lord, to be honest and open about your struggles, and to do all you can to serve him. You may find that this is not for you, but just come and try and don't give up. We here at Celebrate Recovery are in the same boat in one way or the other. We are also here to help and to guide you through prayer. Even though I have professed that I am a born-again Christian since 1991, I have really never understood things that have happened, that have been happening in my life until I came to Celebrate Recovery. I heard a Sunday sermon about Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. Luke 8:26-39. Both my wife and a good friend approached me and said that passage was about me. But verse 39 was about what I am doing now. Jesus said, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So that the man went away and told all over town how much God has done for him. As another brother had stated in his testimony, I am still a sinner, but I am loved. So thank you, and thank you for allowing me to share.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I can have it, trusting that you will make all things right by surrendering to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.